Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jody Cameron, John Rich, it is 94 WIP. All right, Allen Iverson, it was 18 years ago today, the practice press conference. Double standard? Yeah, probably. I mean, I just love the guy, and I generally overlook it. But I get John's point that, boy, if other athletes in Philadelphia then, prior to then or since then, had said some of the stuff Iverson said, there wouldn't be as much belovedness. Let's go to Tom in Norristown is with us. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing today?
Doing well, Tom.
Good. In regards to the Iverson comments and – Joe, you said earlier, you know, could you imagine if Embiid or Simmons or Harper or somebody like that said it?
Yeah.
You take one of those guys away from their team. I've seen Embiid go away from the Sixers, and they survived. And sometimes they actually played a little better because Ben Simmons stepped up a little bit. I watched that 0-1 Finals replay the other day. If you take Iverson away from that team, they don't even make the playoffs.
I think that's likely or possible. Yeah, the drop off would have been outrageous.
I mean, he was that team. Everybody else was just a piece around him. They played defense and got rebounds. If he was off, they lost.
He was phenomenal. I mean, there's no doubt. I think they'd probably make the playoffs, but they'd be like a 7 or 8 seed. The East was kind of weak, but look, he was sensational. And I was as proud of that team as any team I've ever been a fan of in Philadelphia sports, and that includes teams that won a title, Tom. I thought they put every single ounce that they could into that season.
And especially him.
Oh, I get it, man. I get you. All right, Tom, give me a memorable quote.
I'm going to say, we are who they thought they were.
Ooh. That's a good one right there.
That's
Dennis
a great
Green.
One.
It really is. Justin's with us. Justin, you're on WIP.
Can you guys come back to me in 5 minutes?
Sure. No problem at all. We go to let's go to Chuck in Hoboken. Hey, Chuck.
That was great. I've never heard that before. that was fantastic. Okay, so first of all, a long time no talk, guys. I'm glad you're all doing well, and thank you all so much for putting these shows on. I know the three of you are taking risks that a lot of us aren't taking by going into the studio, the office, to put these shows on. It means a lot. It's keeping a lot of us somewhat balanced in our lives.
Thanks, man.
Great.
And just to speak about that, I've been quarantining up here for the last 7 weeks with my load horse in my hotel room. And Joe, I think it was kind of
Chuck, why do you got to follow up such a nice comment with such a such
it was probably the worst advice you've ever given me, Joe.
Come on, man.
All right, a couple quick points. I'll get off. I can't believe somebody didn't mention Sonny Crockett the other day for the best character of the 80s.
Yeah,
for Miami Vice.
Yep.
Ooh.
For your battles coming up as far as solving lifelong questions, I think it should be bathing versus being a man.
Ooh, okay. All right. How about bathing as a man?
Actually, this is a serious point. This is for both of you. Please, guys, I love you guys. I know the pandemic's driving us all nuts. No more bathtub or shower interviews, okay? Let's just keep it done.
Yep.
So as far as Iverson, I agree with both you guys in a way. Keep in mind that when he had that that press conference, he did also just lose a friend in like a violent crime. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, on that one, while I think he said a lot of silly things throughout his career that other people would have been held against him, or against them, sorry. I do think that one, while funny,
but Chuck, I get you. But to be clear, the issue wasn't so much the press conference. The press conference manifested how he thought. The issue was that his head coach Larry Brown, days before that, had publicly called Iverson out for not being committed in practice. That was the whole.
Yeah.
And by the way, that it wasn't a new thing. That this has been going on for years. Let's remember, Chuck, and I think a lot of people probably forget this. Let's remember the 76ers very actively tried to trade Allen Iverson in the summer of 2000 to the point they actually had agreed to a deal, a 19-player trade that Allen Iverson was going to be.
Oh, I don't remember this. I'm sorry.
Iverson was going to be shipped out in 2000. I think it was to the Clippers. It was a 4-team, 19-player trade that was going to involve, I believe it was Grant Hill and Eddie Jones coming to the Sixers. And it was Matt Geiger's refusal to waive his trade kicker, where Matt Geiger's contract would go up 15% if traded. Matt Geiger's refusal to waive that nullified the trade, kept Iverson in Philly, and led to the great 2000-2001 76ers season. They were done.
So
they were done with him in 2000. Done.
I have a knockout quote, but real fast, what's funny about that 2001 game when he stepped over Tyronn Lue to win game one against the Lakers.
Yep.
I was actually in a hotel room in upstate New York visiting a law school that I was going to end up attending. So that's one of those memories of my life I'll never, ever forget.
Totally.
What a game.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Okay, so I have the knockout quote, and it also sums up 2020 so far perfectly. Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
That's a good one.
Great one.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Love it, man. Chuck, stay safe,
hey,
man.
Hey, guys, stay safe.
Thanks,
bye.
Buddy. Good hearing from you. Yeah, a lot of people forget about that trade. I mean, that trade was Iverson and Philly was done. And then it wasn't because, you know, the trade didn't go through. James, we haven't heard from you yet on Iverson. You grew up here just you know, like all of us, just absorbing all this stuff. Where do you stand on the Allen Iverson thing at Philly? And when you hear the audio that we played earlier today, and by the way, we'll have a much, much, much bigger portion of the practice press conference coming up at 12:20 today. You're going to get the first 20 minutes of it. It was a 30-minute press conference. The first 20 minutes is really kind of like the main part, if you will, the meat and potatoes where they cover the greatest ground of stuff. So 12:20, 20 minutes of it, it's going to be amazing. James, what comes to your mind when you hear all this conversation?
Well, today? In the moment, I was definitely 100% where you are. I was all in on Iverson. I didn't have any problem. All I said was, you know, when the game starts, that dude's there.
Yep.
And he brings it, and it doesn't matter, the injuries, all that stuff. But with age and listening to the practice presser this morning and going through it, like, I do kind of understand where Richie's coming from more than I did before. And I didn't realize how much until we really got into it that he did waste a lot of his talent. I mean, he was out partying. He was not invested in the same way, you know, like players like a Kobe Bryant, a perfect example, or someone who just has strict 100% dedication to being the best at what they do. That wasn't Allen Iverson. It just wasn't. And I love the guy. Like, in my heart, I love the guy.
Yeah.
But as I get older and as I look back on it, I really do kind of side with Richie in the sense that he didn't get out of his talent what he could have.
Wow. 2-1-5-5. I mean, here's the thing. Intellectually, I know you're right. Emotionally, I don't want to feel it.
Admit it. Yeah.
Because I love the guy that much. So much. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
It's frustrating. I see this with two lenses. My first lens is that I was upset with Allen Iverson as I don't want to say fellow Philadelphia athlete because I mean he was just on a different planet from me.
But as a guy that played pro sports,
yeah. I mean, I'm playing for the Eagles. Yeah. I'm listening to WIP, listening to the info, like everything I can get on Allen Iverson because I want the Sixers to be good. I want him to be great. And he let us down. Like, that's the way I felt at that time. Like, he was letting us down because he wasn't invested the way he needs to be. He's incredulous up there saying, like, hey, I'm the MVP. Why are we talking about me getting traded? Well, because you're talking about the fact that you don't deem the right things to be important. And, oh, by the way, it's Philadelphia. I mean, that's what happens here. People will talk. People will hold you accountable. He didn't want to be held accountable at that point in time. In my mind, that's the way I felt as an athlete. Now I look at this and there's sadness. I you know, almost 20 years later, yeah. I view this as a tragic situation where, you know, Allen Iverson himself, I believe, regrets his actions.
Because he didn't
have lack of action.
He didn't have the awareness then to recognize the pitfalls of his approach.
How important it was for him to do the little things. You know, those things that everyone talks about. Like, he had gained so much success and notoriety doing things his way. He felt like, you know, his approach was validated and he was going to be him. Well, sometimes you got to bend a little bit and you got to do things outside your comfort zone. He didn't. And as a result, I mean, you talk about Ray Allen. He outlasted him. He did things the right way. I think Allen Iverson himself, like, if we could ask him, would admit that he regrets his approach to basketball.
Fascinating, man. 215-592-9494. There is a whole nother aspect to this, though, which is that even though Iverson's body didn't, you know, because of his approach, he didn't maintain it as well as other athletes did, as long as they did, Kobe and Ray Allen being examples. Okay, there's truth to that. But, you know, there's a whole nother side of this, which is, but it was the lack of moves to support Iverson and put people around him that was the big issue. The biggest issue. I mean, the biggest issue was he's going out there with, you know, I mean, you know, at times it's Matt Harpering and, I mean, like, we know the names. I mean, it's like, come on. I mean, really? I mean, is Allen Iverson really supposed to win the NBA Finals with some of those guys? No. I mean, he's really not. And unfortunately, he was put in that position. It wasn't possible. Chris in Middletown. Chris, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi, Chris.
You brought up an interesting point with McNabb. You know, I don't think anybody post-career has trashed their legacy more than McNabb locally. I mean,
Other than O.J. Simpson nationally, but yeah.
Yeah, but locally.
I know.
But, you know, Iverson really never went after the fans. You know, like that press conference is really ridiculous as a role model, you know, trying to set an example for young kids. I think we can all agree on that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think Iverson post-career has exuded a level of maturity and self-reflection where, I think he does have a lot of regret over that. And throughout his playing career, high school, college, and up until Larry Brown, had he ever really given a proper example?
You know, that's the thing, Chris. His background was so complicated, to say the least, and tragic in so many ways, that is, in my opinion, another major. I thought there was great empathy showed to Iverson by you know, I'll call it most Philadelphia sports fans, without knowing every detail of his you know, early childhood. We knew, because we'd heard enough, that it was really rough, and so it's almost like he came to Philly as a sympathetic figure because of what a terrible and tough background he had come from.
Right. So, you know, when you juxtapose that against McNabb, for example, like, he never even really got off on the right foot with his career in Philadelphia. Now, both of them, I don't think you could debate either of them, play their heart outs on the field. I mean, McNabb on the broken ankle, Iverson trying to play through the bruised tailbone, all that kind of stuff. But post-career, McNabb has almost ruined his. I mean, that guy could be a legend, and half the fandom here can't even stand the guy. And then he's brought in as an analyst by different networks, and it's really not because the guy's smart or mature. It's because people want to hear what he's going to say next, and he constantly puts his foot in his mouth because he has this thing with the fans in Philly. And in my mind, McNabb has done nothing but regress, whereas Iverson, you know, in a bunch of self-reflection, has actually shown a level of maturity that even McNabb has not.
That's very true, Chris. Allen Iverson has embraced the current Sixers, you know, embraced the team. It, you know, has been available in many cases. And, I think that, but like you said, I think it also indicates that he has misgivings. He has regret about the way he handled himself in the past, and he's trying to, you know, make up for it in some ways.
But it's an interesting thing, Chris. Iverson has certainly embraced Embiid and Simmons publicly.
Yeah.
And I sense privately, I don't know a ton, but
that doesn't always happen.
But Donovan clearly has not done that with Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, to the point where it's like, look, Donovan, come on, man. Come on. Give me a break. All right, Chris, give me a memorable quote.
Does it have to be a sports quote or can it just be a memorable quote?
Memorable quote.
All right, I got one or two I'll let you guys choose. Either from
give me your best one.
All right, Gladiator. What we do in life echoes in eternity.
All right, Chris. Appreciate it. I'll tell you what, he should have chosen something else.
Oh, that's pretty profound.
Yeah, but this is one of those ones I know won't win, so I'm not gonna write the whole thing down. I'm just gonna write Gladiator, and I know. Like, there's better quotes from Gladiator.
Yeah.
Like, I am Maximus Decimus Meridian or something. What the
Maximus
heck?
Decimus Meridius.
Meridius.
Or something like
something like that.
Commander of the armies of the North, loyal servant of the true Emperor of Rome, Marcus Aurelius.
Well done, John. Well done. The question is, can I, in Life Advice with the Hammer, have advice that is as well done? We shall find out. Let's hit it right now, as we do every single Thursday this time. A little life advice with the Hammer. All right, so here's my first piece of advice to all the kids out there, if you're listening right now. First piece of advice. If you don't like to practice, don't admit it publicly at a press conference.
Strong advice.
You know, I'm just saying.
That's good.
All right, James, what does someone need some help with
today? All right, speaking of kids, this is good. Hammer, this is from the text line. Hammer, I'm stuck at home with my family, and I'm supposed to be teaching my son, who is in the 10th grade, science.
Oh, good God.
Here's my problem. I'm terrible at science. What do I do, Hammer?
Well, so there's a second problem. I'm terrible at science, too.
Yeah, not a great person to be asking.
So I don't know much what to say.
I mean, not great.
My first thought is find a YouTube video and just have him watch it. Have that person teach him?
That's really good advice there.
I mean, if you don't know the stuff.
Let someone else do it.
No, yeah, man. No, seriously. He's asking me what to do. I mean, I don't know what we're dealing with here. Biology. I think I had biology in 10th grade, not chemistry, which I had in 11th grade.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to go off of the biology thing, I would say if you don't really know biology, but you know, you're supposed to help your son or daughter absorb it as they're learning from their teacher, but that might get funky also. So honestly, seriously, no joke, try to find a YouTube video on biology. That's the best. Either that or call up somebody that maybe you can lean on for, you know, a half an hour, an hour. Maybe someone who's got their own free time can also lend a hand. That's my advice.
Pass the buck.
Yeah. It's the best I got. Well, you can't learn biology on your own that fast.
Well, you don't have to. You've got a great resource.
Yeah, it's called YouTube.
You've also got the teacher of your son's class.
Ooh.
Well, yeah.
I mean, listen, these teachers, they're doing the best they can.
They
it's
are.
Not a great situation where they cannot be hands-on. They want to help you as a parent help your child. So contact that teacher. Talk to the teacher about your shortcomings or your own, you know, self-perceived shortcomings.
Yep.
And see what you need to work on. I'm sure the teacher has resources and can direct you in the right way.
It's actually a pretty good thought there.
Well, yeah. Better than go to YouTube. Man.
All right, I'm done with my advice giving for the day.
They're done with it, too.
I didn't like that question. That's a tough question. That's not up my alley. You asked me about science or you asked me about foreign languages, I'm in deep trouble.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Talk to Andy in Deptford. What's up, Andy?
Yo, guys, how we doing?
Hi, Andy.
How's everything going? Good?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I want to get on the receiving topic. I want to also hit on our receivers.
Yep.
Quickly on the receivers first. Wouldn't you guys agree that probably receiver was probably the most coveted position that the Eagles needed to address
this
offseason?
Yeah. Well, right? I actually thought it was corner. I thought receiver was second.
I didn't say the most. I said one of.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Okay.
Yep.
And then you guys would both agree, most teams usually carry 5-6 active receivers at the most, right?
Correct.
Okay. So let's look at this Eagles roster. You got Jackson, Jeffries, Jalen Reagor, Whiteside, Marquise Goodwin, Greg Ward. That's 6, right? Mm-hmm. So you would think.
Oh, Andy's phone's breaking up.
Oh, no.
So, go
ahead.
Can you guys hear me?
We got you now. So
you said you would think.
Yeah, so the 6 guys, you would think what?
So you would think those 6 are locks, right?
I don't know if I'd call them all locks, but I mean at least 5 of them.
So
I mean,
what
we, just to be, Andy, to be clear, we don't know.
No,
if
I don't think they're locked.
Yeah,
Jeffrey's not a lock.
He's not a lock, and he could start on PUP even if he's on the team. He could be not on the active roster.
But we would probably assume nobody's going to trade for him, and they're not going to eat that kind of money. So if he's on the pub list, maybe he'll be on the pub until after weeks, and then he'll be active.
Right,
so
right.
Of those six, let's just say five are guaranteed, right? Mm-hmm. What is Howie doing? You draft two guys in the fourth round that probably won't even make your team in Hightower and Watkins. Last season, you drafted a guy in the fourth round that didn't play a snap, didn't dress a game, and you drafted a guy in the fifth round that didn't even make the team.
Yeah, but Andy, now you're complaining that he drafted too many wide receivers. I mean, you can't.
Well, that he drafted
poorly. I'm complaining that he don't know what the hell he's doing.
Well, I'll tell you what he's doing. He's trying to find players at the end of the draft that can become better than the perception by, you know, likely starting off on the practice, you know, being good in training camp, starting off on the practice squad, and playing their way into the team. I mean, that's the way teams approach sixth and seventh round draft picks at all positions.
But Joe, he has no track record of successfully picking outside of the second round. He has not drafted a player outside of the second round. His first round draft picks have been busts for the most part. He hasn't drafted a productive player outside of the second round. So why do I have any type of faith in Howie Roseman?
Well, obviously you don't.
Jalen Mills was seventh.
Right.
Well, yeah, I'll give him
I
that.
I mean, Jason Kelce was in the, fifth
or
sixth?
Yeah, but Andy Reid was running stuff back then. Stop.
Well,
all right, Andy.
Well, you got to start specifying that you're only talking – seriously, because you keep doing this. You got to tell me you're talking about only the last 4 years. If you're saying only the last 4 years
– when Howie had power, when he was controlling things.
That's fine.
Come on, man.
That's fine.
We now – right now, we have 14 wide receivers that can call themselves Eagles.
Yeah.
14 of them.
Well, and they'll get it way
and on. What this is Howie sort of warned us – he's going to throw a whole bunch of darts
right
at that target. And, I mean, basically you've got like seven guys competing for one spot.
And, Andy, remember, after this upcoming season, the next year rosters are going to be expanded. That's part
of the – wait a minute, John, does that make sense what you just said, that he's throwing stuff on the wall and hoping it sticks? I mean, you know, long-term success –
I don't think he's good.
Andy, let's remember, the Patriots trade down every year to get more draft picks because they believe in the philosophy, the more picks you have, the more of a chance you have to have better players.
Joe, if you have all the picks, but you're not making good picks.
Well, he's got to get better at it. I recognize
it. I agree with you, Andy. Oh. And I feel like this whole point is why he needs to start ponying up and trading picks away to get established players that could make a difference on this team, because the picks don't amount to a hill of beans anyway.
All right, Andy, give me a memorable quote. What do you got here?
One last point, quickly, and I think you guys would both agree upon this. In the NFL, sustained success is on the teams that draft well and can build their roster through the draft. And Howie Roseman has not been doing
that. All right, memorable quote. Memorable quote.
I agree.
Memorable quote.
As far as my memorable quote, I coach kids, and this one sticks a lot with me with kids. How about that hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard?
All right.
Yeah, that's good.
Good one.
That's a good one. I like that one a lot.
Sort of fits.
It's a lot for me to work down.
Allen
I'm just going to write something about hard work and talent. I can't write all that down. 215-592-9494. Coming up, will it happen again? I'll say this. It better not. What am I talking about? I'll tell you next. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.